morning, everyone. Good to have you guys here. And the ladies, lots of ladies. It's great to have you here as well. And also the young ones. It's good to have you here. There's facilitators that's going to do Kiddies Church, and they've got very nice voorskote, aprons, what do you call it? Aprons, big word. So there's something for them as well. I want to start off with by asking a question or two. I want to ask all of you guys that's here in church this today, who of you would like to stay exactly the same for the next year? And who's happy with who they are? In terms of you feel content, you don't have to change anything in your life, say for the next 6 months or year. Is anyone like that? There's a guy that feels he's at a good place, nothing wrong with that. But if I ask it the other way around, who of you, remember we are body, soul, and spirit, who of you would like to change in the next year? Who of you would like to change? Okay, so you're at the right place this morning. Because, you know, in terms of Scripture says we are body, soul, and spirit. Okay, so in terms of our bodies, we can say, listen, maybe I want to exercise more or do this or do that. In terms of our soul, our emotions, you can say, maybe I don't want to be angry that much, or maybe I want to laugh more, or whatever the case might be. And then when we talk about our spirits, where will we start? You know, our spirit man, our relationship with the Lord, everything concerning church and the relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe there's quite a lot that if you want to write it down, you can say, but Lord, I trust you to grow in this next year, to grow from glory to glory, to learn new things, to leave other things behind. So I believe, as it said, Jesus changes lives, minds, and hearts. When we come to Christ, you know, our lives change. And that's not something that happens and then it stops. I believe most of us grow, and sometimes I once heard someone who said, if you fall, at least just fall forward, you know, don't go backwards. So at least just go forward. And I believe all of us will say to ourselves, I want to spend more time in prayer, read more scripture, be more involved maybe in church life, or whatever it may be. I think we can all say things like that for ourselves. Now, so all of us want to change. Most of us said yes in the previous service as well. So I believe it's safe to say we want to change. Now the thing is, God doesn't change. Scripture says God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Okay, but God doesn't have to change because He's a perfect God. His will, His word. I mean, we don't get a new gospel or a new a Bible or a new Old Testament or a new. We don't have something they call the ultra new New Testament. You know, those things that were written, they are written. So we don't have to add to that. God is perfect. Okay, God in His thoughts, in everything He plans stuff, He's perfect, but we aren't. But fortunately, He's big in a changing business. Who of you have come to a place where your lives have changed in Jesus Christ? Quite a lot of you guys. Okay? And this is not something, as I said, you take a step, Jesus come in your life and you change and now you're perfect forever. Okay? We are all still vulnerable in a sense to sin. Maybe I shouldn't ask who have sinned today or the past week or the past month, but I think most of us, to a lesser or a more extent, have you know, put a foot wrong or something, and that's not the end of the world. At least as long as we say to ourselves we can grow past that. So if I read to you from Malachi 3 verse 6, it says that for I the Lord do not change, therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. Also beautiful in the Psalms, I once remember in church, I asked if you could get just two books from Scripture, which ones would that be? And I remember a lot of people that day said the Psalms. So I believe a lot of people get a lot of theology from that. But in Psalm 102, verse 25 to 27, it also says, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They which perish, but you will remain, they will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end. So the Lord that we are serving, the word that we have, we don't serve, if I can put it that way, and I'm saying it with respect, a moody God that today is like this and tomorrow is like that, and today we have to try and please Him in this way and tomorrow in another way. We as people are like that in many ways. You know, sometimes we work for a boss or a husband or a wife or something, and you can see this person is a little bit different today than yesterday. Okay, my wife life changed a lot. Those of you who come and visit our house, you'll see that the living room is always every second week in a new area or newly organized. Myself, I don't. If something works, don't change it. You know, I'm more like that. If something is working, then rather not fiddle too much. Maybe you'll mess it up. But she's got a different theology, but I love her for that. She makes our house and our everything more colorful. Some of us, especially the men, I think we're not so much into changing our hairstyles or stuff like that. The ladies usually, quite often, it looks different. But we men, we love it, okay? That's a nice thing. But I've got a lot of scriptures to share with you today, so you really have to hold on to your seat. And I believe I want to share this message in the context of 2 weeks ago where we had a word or a few maybe at intercession where we really felt that the Lord is saying that, you know, He wants to do some pruning in our lives. He wants to cut off some leaves, maybe do a bit of reshaping. Sometimes, you know, you get a plant, that a rank plant. What is that? A rank plant. What is a rank plant? A ranking plant, I guess. But bottom line is sometimes there's a plant that needs some guidance as it grows. So you'll take a stick or some rope and you will show it where it must grow. Okay. And many times for us, we also need some guidance. We also need some help in our growing process. Now, just to start off with, and I'm going to go first quite fast through the first bit, we as humans, we've got one problem that we face, and that is called sin. In Romans 5 verse 12 it says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned." You know, sometimes it feels a bit unfair if you think about it. You know, what happened there in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve, they sinned, they were disobedient, God gave them a certain what they were not supposed to do and they did it. And now all of us suffer because of that thing. I believe my life, in a sense, have changed when at a certain stage I got to the point where I had to acknowledge I wasn't born a Christian, you know. I need to become one. There's something that needs to change in my own life as I come to Christ. But this thing in Romans 5 verse 12, it says that because of Adam and Eve, okay, we all, thank you Saskia, we all have this issue with sin, okay. And then it says, okay, in verse 18, 5, verse 18, it also says, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation of all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification in life for all." Okay, so also Jesus Christ has died, so all of us have the opportunity at least to deal with this problem, that the problem can be rectified. Also in Romans 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We know that whether you try to go to church 100% of the Sundays in a year, whether you try to tithe, be good, be nice, to serve, whatever you do, we can't gain God's favor by doing things, okay? Jesus Christ has died on the cross, okay? And when we become believers, when we put our faith in Him, okay, our lives are changed. We see just here in 1 John 4 verse 9 and 10, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him." So this problem, sin, came into the world by one man's disobedience. That was Adam and Eve, okay? And Jesus came and He rectified this problem. In 1 John 4 verse 10 it says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That big word, propitiation, okay? That means the reconciliation. That means God has reconciled us as humanity to the Father, okay? And it's so beautiful how it says, you know, God loved us first. It's not because we said, okay, God, we're going to love You, and then He sent His Son. No, He said, "I want to solve this problem. I want to solve this issue." I'm not going to go into too much detail, but also in John 3:3-6, it talks about new birth and new life, okay? You can go and read it at home. As I said, I've got quite a lot of scriptures here today, but scripture is good for us. And it talks about becoming a new person. I'll just read John 3 verse 5. "Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So basically, we are born, and if you were to stay the same forever, okay, you cannot come into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ needs to come into your life. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for us to stay the same. He died that we can change. That's why I said God is big in the changing business. One of the probably, you know, we as Christians, we don't believe in reincarnation. That means some of you that were maybe bad guys, or let's say the good guys, maybe you were a dog in the previous, or a giraffe or some nice animal, and now you became a good 18-year-old boys or girls sitting here. No. Or if you were really bad, maybe you were a snake or a rat or something. That we don't work like that. But one of the biggest things that happened was that the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, and He was 100% man and He's 100% God at one time. You know, while He was walking here on the earth. And many times I think we all have dreams. We all would like to go back. Maybe some of the ladies would go like to go back to the 7th century where you wear this big rocker dresses and, you know, all the things. And maybe the men, the boys here, you might think like Brak en Jan and the Three Musketeers. What was that time? Three Musketeers. Yeah, maybe you think it was romantic fighting with swords, or maybe the time of Braveheart or something. Maybe that looks nice to you. But a time that I wish I could go back to was I wish I could sit there somewhere in Galilee while Jesus was ministering, just looking at Him and seeing how He was talking to the people, how He was touching people's lives, how people were changing. I didn't have to be part of the crowd. I just wish I could see that. We have it here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've got all about the life of Jesus. But sometimes I wish just for one morning or one day, I could just go and sit there and just see. Not that I don't believe it from where I'm standing right now, but just to see, to be part of it, because I think it would have been amazing. It would have been really awesome. And the wonderful thing is we know that the Lord is still touching people's lives. That's why many of you raised your hands when I asked, did Christ change your life? Okay, we can see the fruits of Jesus still today. Then I want to read to you from Romans 1, verse 15 and 16 as well. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you who are also in Rome. Who of you are eager to preach the gospel? Who would like to preach the gospel? At least most of you? That's wonderful. Paul was also eager to preach the gospel in Rome. Then in verse 16 he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Greek." I just want to repeat that first part again. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes." Okay, so he says he brings the gospel, don't be ashamed of it, and it's the power of God. The gospel brings change. The gospel brings transformation. Jesus Christ brought change. He changed people's lives. He changed the dispensation. Many people got healed by His hand. Okay? So it's not, the gospel isn't something without teeth, if I can put it that way. It's got power. That is why we change. So many times we get used to church life, the way of talking, almost when I say church jargon, okay? But to be born again, to be changed, is massive. It's no small thing, okay, to be changed. And I believe all of us that have testimonies, you know, coming to Christ, will say, I never want to go back to the old man. I never want to be like I was. Because God wants to take us from glory to glory. He wants us to grow. He wants us to become more like Christ, okay? And that's a massive changing process. Because you can't be light and darkness. You can't be like a thief or a robber and be a small group facilitator, or at least we won't like that. Okay, bottom line is we need to leave certain things behind. And remember, I'm talking today in the context of pruning, the context of changing. And I believe the scriptures I'm sharing with you guys today is to help us to see in scripture what this is about. How can we grow in this? Acts 1 verse 8, scripture that you all know very well. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. And then it says we will go to the ends of the world. That says When we get the Holy Spirit, we receive power. Not power for ourselves, but power to spread the gospel. So we can turn it around. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have power. Yes, maybe you're strong, you can lift something, or maybe you're a person with a lot of self confidence or something, and you're charismatic in a certain way in terms of speaking. Okay, maybe you can have a little bit of power. But Scripture here says, okay, power to work in the church, in the kingdom, this gospel, it brings us power. And if you don't have it, if you don't have the Holy Spirit and Christ inside, you obviously, it's the opposite, you don't have it. Luke 24 verse 49 says it so beautifully. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from high. It's not power from a ritual, power from a false god or something. It's power from the Holy Spirit. Okay? And I love the way, just in this year, how many times we have given opportunities for someone to share a word, or we had something at intercession, and even before, the people that were in the church, first church service, you know, we had certain words, and then certain people respond to that. That's not us being clever or having good human or relational skills. It's the Holy Spirit helping us. He's guiding us because He wants to do something. Now I'm going to read quite a long passage, and I want you to write it down. And in this afternoon, you know, go and study it again. It's from Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 24. I'm going to read all of it, but I'm going to read it quite fast. But write it down, and there's almost a sermon or two just in this. Okay, but go and read it for yourselves. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and we taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus. And here the important part comes now. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Who thinks this is an awesome part of Scripture? I love it. I really do love it. That's why I want to encourage you to go and read it at home. It's really great. Thank you for that last hand as well. But the important part here is, and I think I've underlined it as well, in verse 22 it says, to put off your old self. Now remember, as we come to Christ, we start to change. But then it's not done totally. That's why there's things like discipleship. We need to grow. We need to walk the road. And here he's talking to, let's say, the Gentiles. But Paul could just have been writing this letter to people here in Windhoek. And when you're born again, come into the kingdom, he says, leave those old things behind. Put them away. And he says, because it belongs to your former ways. So if you, let's use the example, if you were an alcoholic, okay, and you came to Christ, leave those things behind. It's got no place in your life anymore. And then he says, then he talks about corrupt. Now, many times, all of us good people that is normally skilled in terms of computers, some of the other day, the whole thing will just freeze or drop you or something weird will happen. And then you will see this thing is now corrupted, okay? But we were the same. When we were not in Christ, we are also corrupted. That means our thinking, our way of living, everything, it's corrupted. It needs to be rebooted. So what's the best thing you can do with a computer if it gives you problems? Switch it off, pull the plug, and then start again, get it right, you know? And then here, he talks about verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I think this is the part where we need the most renewing. Because our hearts change. We can feel salvation and God so much many times, okay? But here in your mind, we are still battling those battles because of the words your dad maybe said, or what the teacher said, or what your boss said, or your fear about your income, or your house, or your kids, or whatever it might be. So here in our minds, I think the battle is always there. It's there where we have to get the victory. Verse 24, he says, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God. This whole new person we become. It's not just like becoming new. It's becoming new in terms of Christ-likeness, becoming new in terms of who God is, of who Christ is. Okay? We go from slavery to sonship. None of us were brought there. There isn't slavery really anymore, as far as I know, in Namibia. Okay? But if you were a slave and you were to serve a master, and you were transformed from being a slave to be equal to the master's son, inheriting maybe an inheritance of 20 million Namibian dollars, you're gonna feel the change. You're gonna feel the difference. Okay? So we were slaves of sin and all those type of things, but now we become children of God. And it's a big step for many of us to take and keep on taking. I believe there's a lot of help in Scripture for us. Read with me from Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things of the earth. Okay, so Paul is encouraging the people here in Colossae, and he's saying to them, listen, focus on the Lord. Focus on, let's call it, the heavenly things, the good things. Don't focus primarily on the things on this earth. Okay, they will just bring you problems in many ways. I'm not saying today, don't drive a car now or resist technology or anything. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking in the bigger picture now. Paul is saying, look at Christ, look at God, look at the things above, okay? And it's important for some of us here, because I know these people that are so, you can see only this far because of your problems. You are so focused on what's happening in your everyday life, okay? While he's encouraging the people here in this letter, and he says, don't just focus on those things. Focus on the things above, okay? Colossians 1 verse 9 to 11. Another part that there's almost two sermons in. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Paul must have been a super Holy Spirit inspired and clever man. Who of us could just write something like this? Okay, I love it. That's why I say there's a sermon or two in this. Write it down, go and read it again, go and study it. He says, wisdom and understanding would then lead to changed lives, for it would enable these Christians to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So wisdom and understanding, it's not knowledge in terms of going to school, going to university, being clever. This wisdom is biblical wisdom, okay? To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, okay? Last week, Pastor Ross was here, and we talked, and he just shared with me what a passion he had for the name of Christ, okay? And wherever people don't bring honor or glory to the name of Jesus, he's in a battle with them, okay? Because he wants to help them to see. A while ago, we preached about let our lives glorify God, whether we eat or whether we drink. Every good work is here viewed as the fruit of salvation in the life of a Christian. Okay? So when we come to Christ, when we come in this new life, there's new fruit. Maybe in the old life, someone could say, wow, you're an awesome thief. I mean, you never get caught. That's not the type of things we want to hear anymore. We want to hear people say, but wow, look at this person. Look how his life is changed. Look how he's got the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, in that person's life. Spiritual power, in the context of this letter, was a massive, important thing for in the Greco-Roman culture. Because everyone wants power. Who of you don't want power? Okay, everyone wants a little bit of power in some or other way. Okay, and in this context, people really wanted spiritual power to protect them against evil spirits, because they were they knew what was happening there, and they were going to many pagan gods or doing false rituals or stuff for them to get some power, to protect them, or either to give them wealth or influence. People will do funny things. I've heard about how many sound people these days that will go to a witch doctor or a sangoma, okay? Because they think that person has got power and they will change. Maybe you will fall pregnant because you're battling with that, or maybe this or that will sort it out in your be sorted out in your life. But the thing is here, Paul pray for them for power to have divine strength, to walk in his ways, to resist temptation. So this power that we have as Christians in terms of the Holy Spirit inside, Christ inside, the mind of Christ, it enables us to leave those things behind, to resist temptation and whatever. But you really have to focus here. I want to also share with you one of my favorite scriptures, and I've got many of them. Romans 12 verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, and what is acceptable and perfect. The present evil age, friends, still brings a challenge to us. None of us can say we are never tempted, we are never tempted to sin in our hearts, in our minds, or whatever. There's a lot of temptations, stuff that we need to resist, okay? But Paul is talking here that we don't conform to this world, okay? But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And I believe this is an ongoing process. It's definitely something that starts at when you are born again, when you come to Christ, okay? But it's something that you need to go on doing, okay? Because I've seen many Christians that grow, and here maybe in year 2 or 4 or 5 or somewhere, they get to a place and they kind of get disillusioned. You know, they're like, well, I don't know anymore. And it's because this process has stopped. We should continually like purify something in our minds. It must be transformed. And it's not something we're doing in our own strength. It's the Holy Spirit. If I were to take this glass and throw one of you, let's call that sin because it's really a bad thing to do. Okay? I must be renewed in a way that, because you can't do something like that anymore. Maybe it's not that good example, but you will know in your own life. You will know what are the things you are battling with. I've got there 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. I've got three different translations for you. Maybe on the internet, or maybe you've got a few Bibles at home, go and look at it. I'm not going to read all of them, but it's just interesting to see when you're studying a part of Scripture how different translations can help you to open it up, to understand it a bit better. I'll read from the English Standard Version. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Now, this is something key to me this morning, okay? In terms, many of us, I will go as far as to say the majority of us, are always battling some type of a fear in our life. The fear of failing, fear of not being good enough, the fear of not being a good parent, the fear of maybe not performing well at school or sport, or maybe not making it in life, maybe about your finances. There's a lot of things in this life. You can go and read the dictionary. You'll find a lot of names for different types of fears, okay? And the thing is, Scripture says here, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Okay, that means we've got the fruit of the Spirit. Fear isn't supposed to be part of our spiritual makeup. Instead, things like power, love, and self-control. Power. That means we've got a decision to decide certain things. We've got the Holy Spirit inside that gives us power to resist certain things or to grow past certain things. A while ago, I preached about, tithing. And then I said, grace is there for us to empower us to become bigger givers. Not for us to not give at all. Okay, grace helps us. It enables us. So, I want to read to you one or two things. I'm not sure the next. The greatest fear, okay. That's a quote from Pastor Fred May that you a while ago in a letter you wrote. And I just thought it's going to be good in the sermon. He said, the greatest fear we are to overcome is the fear of taking up our cross, which requires the death of self and its carnal strength of a self-confident and a self-sufficiency fueled by the subtle sins of vanity and pride. The thing is, you know, many times we fear these things in our lives of not being good enough or what, but many times the root is because we our own identity, our own person, are so alive and sitting on the throne of our lives. But once we can die to ourselves and say, Lord, not my will, but yours, you're going to make a big part of progress in your own life to deal with these things. Okay? Because if you're in God's will, you know, many things, whether you earn $10,000 a month or 15, will not be that important to you. Yes, it's still important in some way, but relationship with the Lord are much more important. Knowing that the toleration and accommodation of any of these negatives have the power to redefine our spirit. So the thing is, if you leave a door open in your life to, let's call it fear now, you know, there's a possibility, and I think some of you will be, of us will be able to testify. You know, it's got the ability to come into your life and this new spirit man to almost, it's like a river going somewhere. You know, it's getting deeper, deeper all the time as the water takes some sand away. Or think of a big rock and there's a man with a hammer hitting it and slowly but surely bits of the rock are, you know, breaking off and falling away and it's getting smaller. If we allow these type of things in our lives, you know, then slowly but surely the enemy, and he would love to do that, he will come and eat away from this new spirit, this new person. So we must resist that. A mind that remains even relatively renewed tends to bring about a regression of the recreated spirit into its unredeemed state, namely that of fear again. Okay, so the thing is, when you have this thing about slavery and being slavery, a slave to certain sins or situations or fears, you know, one of the best ways to counter that is the sonship. Okay, like Paul talks about it in Romans and Galatians. He talks a lot about what I've just said before, coming from slavery and getting to a place where you know you're a son. If you are afraid of losing your job right now and it has such an effect on your life, you can't sleep, your tummy is not nice, stuff like that, you know, you must just go back and say, well, who gave you that job in the first place? Probably was God. And if you were to lose it, just trust the Lord that He will give you something better. Okay, now it sounds easy, but you have to know you're a child of God. He's a good father. He wants to bless you. Okay, He wants you to go from glory to glory. He doesn't want you to go into poverty and die or something. He wants you to go forward. But don't let this thing become a fear in your life, whatever the circumstance may be, that it's killing you in many ways. The way to preserve and prosper the recreated spirit is through the pursuit of sonship. Okay, so the point is here, friends, we are called to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit earnestly and deliberately. We need to rid one's spirit of every last bit of fear and to embrace the Spirit instead. Okay, so we come from darkness, we come into light, and then we grow. Paul's talking about putting on the new self and our new identity in Christ. But make sure that in this makeup of yours, the Holy Spirit, okay, your own spirit, that the devil doesn't come and take bits away. That otherwise, you will one day look at yourself and say to yourself, but how did I get where I'm right now? And it might not be a good place. One or two last scriptures for us today. Paul is giving us good advice here also in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. And he says, and my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay, that is helping us a lot. Paul is writing here and he says, listen, I'm not going to talk like the Greeks to you, going to be all philosophical and try to win you over in that sense. He says, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Friends, the gospel, this whole message, Jesus Christ, His ministry, the Holy Spirit we receive, okay, it brings power with it. So we can't change ourselves in our own natural ability. The Holy Spirit brings change. Jesus Christ in our lives brings change. The closer we get, the more we grow in our relationship with Christ, the more we become like Him, okay? And it's something powerful. Maybe to start to end off with, to set the Romans 8, verse 6, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Can I read that again to you? To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. That gives us so much help in terms of our daily struggles. That's like he said earlier, set your mind on the things above, not the things below. Here he says, don't look and focus. Don't make your focus the things of your, in terms of your mind, on the flesh. Make it, set your mind on the Spirit. And then he said, that is life and that is peace. That is what's going to help us to progress, to leave the old things behind and to grow into the new. And I really feel, and I really believe that that word that the Lord gave us, that I know this, we also had it in the session this morning, that some people are a bit down, some people are a bit maybe negative or stuff, and that happens from time to time. So I want to challenge you. Is there stuff in your life that you know that has to change, but you can't change it yourself? Okay, then I know this morning that Scripture very clearly, by the things I've shared with you this morning, gives us the, shows us, okay, that the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God can bring change in our lives. That can help us to make progress and leave the old things behind. Can I ask all of you to just close your eyes for a moment, please?
I really want all of us just to quickly stand while we are closing our eyes. And I just quickly want to share out of my own life as well. And we've heard about Jesus and how he renews and how he changes. But it's actually an exchange that happens when we meet Jesus on the cross. An exchange of our flesh and what we want and what we desire for that of the Spirit. And when we receive that exchange, which happens only at the cross, and that is when new life starts, when new life begins. But it will mean obedience. It will mean dying to yourself. And it will often not be easy. For Jesus was also led by the Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert. We had to face certain temptations because God wants you to overcome those sin. He doesn't want you to struggle with those sin. And sometimes when we have made that decision, sometimes when we have made that exchange, it gets difficult. And we come to a point where we need to make that exchange again. Just for something in our flesh that has overtaken that of the Spirit. We are no longer obedient to a part of the Spirit, but rather to a part of our flesh that overtakes. And I want everyone just to look into their hearts and to see whether, and with all eyes closed, just to see whether there's a part of your flesh that still controls and still overrides that of your Spirit, obedience to the Holy Spirit. I know in my life, I was a Christian in my mind, but never in my heart. On the 1st of January in 2011, I said to God, God, I'm going to stop smoking, I'm going to stop drinking, I'm going to stop watching pornography, and I'm going to stop using steroids and all those things. And you know what? I never stopped because my heart didn't change. There was no exchange at the cross. And God wants us to come to that point where we say, Lord, no longer of our will, but only yours. And that might mean that you need to ask yourself the question, what do you not want to give up to God and to give that to him today? And if there's anyone here for the first time to meet Jesus for the first time, you've been doing church, you've been praying, you've been reading Bible, but you've never had that exchange, to quickly raise your hand. And we want to meet Jesus at the cross today. And you actually feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit that tells you to bring that exchange, to bring your flesh so that you can have a newness of life in the Spirit and a consecration to the Holy Spirit. And I really want, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, just to quickly raise your hand. With every eyes closed and every believer praying that has already received this gift, this free gift of salvation, just to pray for those that have not yet come to that point of exchange. And I quickly want you just to raise your hand if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. If you want to come to the knowledge of God for the first time, please quickly raise your hand. And if there's anyone that have already given their heart to the Lord, but has it become tough and you have backslidden or you have walked from this road and you know that you need to exchange some of those fleshly things again, I also want to give you the opportunity to come forward, whether it's lust, whether it is just simply anger, whether it's just selfishness or any of those struggles, emotional and physical. God says by his stripes we were healed. Not merely just physical, but emotional as well. I just quickly want you to raise your hand as well if you want to make a recommitment. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. And now I want you to be bold. And I want you to ask you to come forward, to quickly come forward. For when we confess before man, God also confesses us before the Father that is in heaven. Thank you. This is one of the most precious and most amazing times, but you need to understand that when you come forward, that this means that it's no longer your will, and that the Holy Spirit will take you to a point where you confront that sin, and He will show you and He will guide you to overcome it. And this is not something to be taken up lightly. It's something where God exchanges life. And I don't want you to do this because your friends do this. I want you to do this because of your heart. And I want all of you that stand in front to pray quickly after me. I'm going to do a prayer. And then just to pray after me again. Lord God, thank you, Father, for the cross. Thank you for sending us Jesus. Thank you for sending us the perfect representation of your love. Thank you, God, that you have come to meet us. And that we know that we are sinners, Lord. Father God, and we repent and turn our backs on our old life. And we die to our flesh today. Father, and we follow you. And we follow your voice. Thank you, God, for the free gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you are our Father, that you know our hearts, that you touch us, and you give us a new spirit. Lord, I commit my life to you this day, all in honor of your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.